And now, 88.9 WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert, a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, and join the conversation.
Hello and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, The Convert.
And we're here on WDCR, our first locally produced radio program. One of the goals of WDCR since our conception over 4 years ago is to begin to produce some local programming covering items of interest with a Catholic perspective in our community, and to do it in a way that's entertaining and enlightening. We want to make clear at the onset that we are not priests or deacons. We're lay Catholics. We've not been to the seminary. We are both active in lay ministries in our parish. And we should open our show with a prayer, don't you think, Mark?
I think so.
How about a memorare? Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Now, the WDCR mission statement is Decatur Catholic Radio exists to strengthen your Catholic faith and spread the good news. We are lay Catholics dedicated to enlightening and entertaining with energy, enthusiasm, following genuine church teachings. So, Mark, I'm the cradle Catholic. Been a member of the Catholic Church my entire life, except for the first 16 days. A few months ago, I heard Pope Francis say we should try to find out what day we were baptized on. So, and this may make some of the parish secretaries angry, but I went up and found my records and learned that my baptism day was 3-4-5-6. So it's real easy to remember. And then this year was the first year I actually celebrated the entering of the church. So
yeah.
I went to St. Patrick's School. I received my first confession, first communion, and was confirmed at St. Pat's, the sacrament of matrimony at St. Patrick's, and am still active in ministry at St. Pat's. So for my entire life, I've attended one parish that two became one several years ago when St. James and St. Pat's joined together, but I have always been a member of the Roman Catholic Church. How about you?
Well, that makes me sound like a rolling stone, brother. I started off Presbyterian as a child, attended church with both my parents, and I was probably between 10 and 11 years old when we stopped going as regularly. The church itself, my folks disagreed with some of the philosophy and the expenditures they were making at that time. And so we just kind of fell out of going to church on Sundays. And I was about 19 years old, actually. And I had grown up, but let me backtrack. I'd grown up with some Catholics, kids, and I always found their practices and their religion very curious, and not enough to look into it at that age, but found it curious. And as I got older, in fact, about 19, I was asked to help mentor some scouts, Boy Scouts, at the St. Patrick Church. And while I was down there doing that in the evenings and the kids were engaged in activities, then the priest there at the time started asking me where I went to church. So, yeah. And there was no getting it, something in your eye and looking the other way at that point. I was sitting right there next to him, and I said, well, I really don't go. Well, why not? And I said, well, I can't really explain that. He said, come upstairs to the rectory and see me after this is over. And that started. Now, mind you, this is in the early 70s, so we didn't have RCIA, but this started the process of what was called then instructions.
Yeah.
And that's how a convert, such as myself, got prepared to enter the church.
And those were individual lessons where they kind of took where you were with the faith and then added in and put in what you needed to know in order to receive the sacraments.
Exactly.
So you were baptized, and baptism, of course, one baptism covers all
that's
in the
right.
Christian faith, as long as the proper form is used, that's a little
right.
water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then when did you actually join the Catholic Church?
Well, I was baptized on the 17th of August and joined, became confirmed on the 18th.
Wow, two sacraments in one day, and then I suppose Holy Communion?
Yes.
Right in there too? And that was what year?
1974.
Wow, so you've celebrated an anniversary. You've been with the church quite a while then.
Yes.
And you belong to Holy Family Parish, and
right.
do you have some lay ministries that you do down there, Mark?
I do. I am a lector. I am an extraordinary minister. I'm a member of the Pastoral Advisory Council for Holy Family. I serve at daily Mass on Fridays, And I have done a couple of different programs during Lent for fellow parishioners.
Well, our goal is to bring an energetic and entertaining show with a Catholic view. We'll talk to local priests, some healthcare professionals, authors, local government officials, and other persons of interest. And persons of interest kind of sounds like cop talk. You know, how coincidental that Mark and I are both retired Decatur police officers. Mark is retired top cop, the chief of police, and I retired as a deputy chief of police. And between the two of us, we have 60 years of law enforcement, and we've both been on the radio for years, but it was a police radio, and now here we are in uncharted waters for both of us. We're trying to learn this as we go. Neither one of us know much about running this board or talking on the radio, so we're kind of doing it on the fly, which is okay. You know, I'm sure it'll be entertaining and energetic.
When you said neither one of us know much, that was an understatement.
Yeah, you could combine the two of us and we'd know very little. But, you know, it's been a goal of Jim Comerford and our board here to have some local broadcasting, something that the people here can relate to. You know, we'll probably get the church bulletins and pick out the highlights when something's coming up, the spring fling or the fall festival or the fish fries, and try to keep people posted on that. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some giveaways eventually down the road if we get through this first show. And
that's a big if.
It could be the FCC knocking at the door right now. But
I won't open it.
Me either.
Get a warrant.
And we will continue to depend, though, on relevant radio for our daily programming. That won't change. Morning shows, our morning air, Father Simon Says and Drew Mariani will still be our mainstays. Shows like The Inner Life, Go Ask Your Father, On Call with Wendy Weiss, A Closer Look, won't be affected by any local programming, so don't worry about that.
We'd like to talk a little bit about what WDCR's goals are for the upcoming. And one of the things that we definitely want to do is get some live broadcasts on masses coming from any of the parishes. We also have got some equipment to purchase. And
that's right. We've got a translator, which is really kind of like a repeater, going up on the southwest side of town on a tower near Southside Country Club, that's going to give us the ability to send our signal a little farther to the south and to the west so that folks in that part of the county will be able to get a much stronger signal. Our current tower, as you know, Mark, is up in Orianna,
yes,
right off of the interstate. And it hits real good up until about South Shores. And I live out in Warrensburg, and I have a little trouble getting the signal. So with this new piece of equipment called a translator, we'll also be heard on 96.5, probably by the end of July, for areas in the county that don't receive the 88.9 signal very well. And, of course, that equipment, the equipment that we've purchased here for the studio so that we can broadcast local programming from in here, has all been paid for by you, the listener.
Generous donors.
Our generous donors. And generous. Like we like to say, as Relevant Radio does, no gift is too large.
Absolutely.
So we're always going to need to pay the power bills and that type of thing, but to buy equipment to make phone calls possible where we can do interviews on the phone, portable microphones, the four new microphones we have here in the studio, all of this equipment costs money. And, of course, being listener-supported, we want to thank you and our underwriters that generously support WDCR 88.9.
And speaking of those phones, the other advantage is for people to be able to call in.
Yeah.
You know, we will get to the point where we may be doing some prayers on request from people who call in, say, I've got this situation, and, you know, could you please do a chaplet or Divine Mercy or something of that nature?
Yep. And we also have a WDCR Facebook page where we'll be posting some interesting stuff, and you'll be able to give us your prayer requests that we will take to the chapel and always pray for our listeners' prayer requests.
Being a convert, I'm a little curious here. Dave, how, as a cradle, how important was the Catholic faith in the way you were raised? Was it a part of your everyday life? I mean, did your folks involve you very early on in it? How did your faith nurture and develop over the years? It's always a journey.
Yeah,
for each individual. But
exactly. Well, you know, I remember as a child going to Mass. This is in preschool days, going to Mass with my family, my mom and dad, and my grandmother lived with us. And we always went to early Sunday morning Mass at St. Patrick's. And so that kind of became a mainstay. And You know, I was taught by the Ursulines at St. Patrick's, so I have a real great guilt complex. So
I haven't seen any. I don't know where you hide it at.
I always made myself go to Mass all through high school and even, you know, through formative years and what have you. The guilt, you know, kind of made me understand that life is short and eternity is long, and good Catholics need to go to Mass on Sunday. So, you know, I went to the Catholic schools where, back in the 60s when I was attending, we went to daily Mass.
Yeah, and it was in Latin in those days, right?
Yeah, it was until Vatican II when they changed it and the priest spoke English and turned and faced us. But so I was formed kind of as an old-school Catholic pre-Vatican II, and then around the fourth grade, we went to the Vatican II changes. But it really stuck with me, and, you know, I went to a public high school. I didn't attend St. Teresa. Through no fault of my parents. I believe it was my fault. Something about being asked not to come back to Catholic schools at that time.
That probably happened.
And but even as a, you know, I went to the PSR classes and I continued my formation, went to Mass. Somewhere along the line, when I was on the police department, I realized how important it was to take good care of my soul. As a police officer, you know, we ran into some situations where you weren't real sure you were going to get out of them. And as I said, life is short and eternity's long. I would attend Friday Masses when I was in administration. I'd take my lunch hour to go to Mass. So I kind of felt, and I was in uniform when I did that, and I kind of felt like maybe some of the people thought, how come this cop's in here at Mass when he ought to be out protecting us? But I also thought some people thought it's probably good that some of our police leadership, you know, attend Mass and
yeah,
go
absolutely.
To church. So as far as being formed as a cradle Catholic, it was instilled from day 16, yeah. Clear up until today.
Now, do you remember praying the rosary together?
Oh, my grandmother prayed the rosary. When I was little, she and I shared the bedroom.
Okay.
And she had this great big rosary with beads about the size of lima beans, and it glowed in the dark.
Oh, no.
So she would pray the
in
rosary.
In those days, it probably had to be plugged into a generator or something.
But it had to be out in the sunlight for a certain amount of time a day.
But
actually glowed in the dark, and she would pray the rosary in the evening. Sometimes only a decade or two, but I would pray it along with her. So I learned the rosary early. Now, as a kid, I didn't know all the mysteries of the rosary.
Right.
I knew the prayers, and so I knew how to participate in the rosary, but I didn't know how to lead it. But it was interesting because my grandmother, Marie Slade, had a great devotion to Our Lady and the rosary. Pictures on the walls, statue of Our Lady. Well, her name was Marie, you know,
and that's the
French version of Mary.
That's right.
So a great devotion to that. We had crucifixes in our rooms, and, you know, we were teased about being fish eaters and that kind of thing.
Now, I assume that your grandmother, Marie, then was a cradle herself.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she was. That side of the family, well, I think all of the sides except for my maternal grandfather were cradle Catholics. He converted. He was McKee. He was Irish.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
He converted, and the entire family, stem to stern, basically, was Catholic when I grew up.
Wow. Yeah, that would be definitely a different environment. You know, I pretty much was on my own as far as when I converted and began attending Mass. And that made things a little different. And I have to take this moment to tell those who have been through RCIA since it came about, what an incredible gift that has been to the church. And I know a lot of people think, well, I'd become Catholic, but I'm not going to go every week for all those hours for weeks on end in order to get into the faith.
Yeah, but it's pretty good to know what you're getting into,
well,
you know?
That's exactly right. And I feel, I'm going to use the word cheated now in compared to what the education and the catechism that the folks in the RCIA get, because I didn't have the benefit of that. And I had some quick lessons, and I can't even tell you, it doesn't seem like many. I'm thinking maybe 10, 11 or 12 hour and a half sessions.
And were those kind of one-on-one?
Yeah.
So you
got
the full attention
and
all of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was my basis, and I didn't really understand what was going on during the Mass. I mean, of course, I understood the consecration and the Eucharist and the significance of it, but as far as the parts and why they were there and why they were repeated every week, and I had no background on that type of thing.
Well, you know, Mark, a poor catechesis has been a problem in the church for quite some time, maybe a generation or two, and it may have started back then. But I know it's difficult in this day and age for people to learn about the faith. Now, I went through the RCIA program with my wife so that she would have someone there.
Sure.
But even she told me that by talking to me, and I consider myself an amateur apologist, you know, she would ask me the questions that she didn't get answered, and I could give her basically pretty good answers. Some of the I've got some books and stuff on the apologetics, which has made it easy for me to come up with those. So when she'll say, how can we do this or how can we do that?
Sure.
I can give her a fairly educated answer. And when I can't, I either tell her I'll find out or go ask Father.
Absolutely.
Or like she does many times, call in on Go Ask Your Father. She's a regular guest on the Drew Mariani show.
Yeah,
she
calls, I've heard her several times.
She calls in on the Chaplet of Divine Mercy pretty regularly and has had some prayers answered through the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Now, she's only been a Catholic for, I guess about 15 years. So she's had a lot of questions about why we do what we do, devotion to the Blessed Mother, why we pray to the saints, that kind of thing. And now she can answer those questions when her Protestant friends say, how come you Catholics pray to the saints?
Yeah.
You know,
I could never be Catholic. I worship one God and only one God. You worship the saints.
Yep. No mediator between the Father except Jesus.
Right.
But it doesn't say there's no mediators between us and Jesus.
Well,
and
exactly.
That's where the saints come in.
And you know, for a period of time, really, as I recall, the Catholic Church kind of got away from the saints, and because of the criticism coming from non-Catholics about them idolizing and worshiping these saints rather than using them as intermediaries, the perception was out there that they were being elevated to this level of gods.
Yeah, to the level of a minor god, so to speak.
Exactly.
And it's just a misunderstanding that people, once they get something in their mind, you just have a heck of a time breaking them out of that train of thought when they think of the we kneel down and pray to a statue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I ask my friends that say, well, you all have these statues that you kneel before and pray to. We don't pray to the statues. I ask them, do you have a picture of your grandparents in your home?
Yeah, why?
Yeah, well, it reminds me of them.
Exactly.
But do you go over and think that's your grandparents?
Yeah.
No, it's just a picture of your grandparents.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And it's nice to be reminded of that. You know, we believe as Catholics that our soul lives on and that people in heaven, the souls in heaven, are everlasting and ever living. And we don't know if they can see us today. We don't know. But I'm assuming that the church teaches us that they can hear our prayers and they can intercede for us to Jesus. And they can say, Lord, they're sitting right there with him. Lord, hear their prayers.
Right.
You know, if I'm going into the hospital for some sort of surgery,
mm-hmm.
and I say, hey, Mark, man, I'm going in to have my appendix out mm-hmm. tomorrow. Would you say a prayer for me?
Of course.
Well, of course you would.
Yeah.
So what difference would that be than asking a saint that's in heaven and that we believe are truly alive to say a prayer, you know, for you as well to our Lord?
Well, and think about this. Our culture today, especially with the youth, you go into their bedrooms or anywhere in their, if they have their own apartment or something, and what you see on the walls are pictures of rock stars. I mean, you see pictures of quarterbacks on football teams.
Yeah,
or running
big
backs.
Fat heads stuck on the wall.
And those are their idols. Those are the people that they idolize, and they want to be just like them. And I think when somebody asks me, why do you look at a prayer card that has a picture of a saint on it as you're praying for that saint to intercede on your behalf, that's my idol. I mean, these people are saints because they live the life that Christ called them to live.
Right. And they're a Christly example for us.
Exactly.
And, you know, I guess it's just they have trouble getting over that hurdle. A lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters just have trouble getting over that hurdle the same way they do when they think that we pray to the Virgin Mary as if she's a goddess.
Yes, exactly.
You know, in the old days, back in the way old days, the feudal days, if you wanted to talk to the king, the best way to get to the king
was through the queen, buddy.
Through the queen mother.
That's right.
You had to go to the king's mother, and if you presented your petitions to her, then she'd present them to her son, and carried a lot more weight.
Well, look at Solomon and Bathsheba. I mean, you know, she constantly interceded for people to King Solomon, her son.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, that's kind of how I see it. And there's been more and more apparitions here recently of the Virgin Mary appearing. And it's just something that I feel sorry that our Protestant brothers and sisters don't really enjoy or get to experience the way we do. So I guess that's all I got to say about that.
Well, and one more thing about the Holy Mother, and that is the fact that I heard a good analogy, and I wished I could remember now where I heard it, but it was about, in specific, it was about our belief in purgatory and the fact that why do you think somebody's got to go to a holding tank or a purification center, you know, set up to run through a detoxification before they can get into heaven? And, you know, this analogy I heard was great. We know that in heaven, it's perfection. When a soul enters heaven, it's perfection. You cannot have something perfect that has imperfection within it.
That's right.
So if, and the analogy I heard was great, you take a glass of water, that's pure water, until you drop a little bit of motor oil into it. One tiny drop, and that's no longer a perfect glass of water. And so we have to look at the same thing when it comes to the Virgin Mary conceiving Jesus. He was perfect. He was God. And she, could she have been imperfect and have something perfect within her?
No way.
No. And could she bring something perfect into the world when it came from an imperfect body?
Nope.
So I mean, I'm not saying that as far as a hierarchy, she's up there with Jesus. But what I'm saying is she certainly is a role model, is certainly somebody out there. Jesus has Jesus very close on speed dial. And by getting through her to please ask him to intercede, sure, I don't see where you're doing any harm there.
Yep. Well, and you know, if you look at the big picture, the more help we can get into heaven, the better it's going to be.
Absolutely.
And when you mention purgatory, you know, I always think you and I appeared in court many times over the years on big trials and little trials. But it didn't matter whether it was a big trial or a little trial. When you went before the judge, you wanted to put forth your best foot.
Yeah, you better.
You wanted to be clean and shaven. You wanted to have on a press suit. You know, you spent your time before going to court preparing yourself to go before the judge.
That's right.
I hope that I get a chance before I go before God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit as my judge, that I have a chance to shave and comb my hair and, you know, scrub my soul down and be purgated of my sins.
Exactly.
So anybody that thinks they're ready to go stand before the Father as they are right now, you know, God love them, because they're going to need his love and mercy.
I think a lot of people have the opinion that purgatory is like checking into a long-term rehab center. I mean, you know, you're going to get there with your suitcase. We don't know how long purgatory lasts. It could be a matter of moments, and it could be as simple as it. And again, this is speculation. I'm not a theologian or certified to do any religious training.
Preaching, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But those few moments, many of us who have watched our close ones or been when someone has passed from this life, there are certain things that they do that are routine, and people don't realize this. You know, they can be seen sometimes as though their fingers or hands are turning pages of a book.
Yep.
And that is while they're still medically alive.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to watch that transition and realize that they all seem to go through this. It's like the elephant's graveyard. How do all these elephants know to go miles to drop?
Yep.
And where they go? The humans exert the same type of behavior when they pass from this life, if it is not a quick.
Well, and you and I have both witnessed that with your dad and the pages of the book and my uncle. And they both laid there in a almost comatose state, moving their hands, and you could see they were turning pages of a book. They were reviewing their life, I guess.
And, you know, my dad had been unresponsive as far as speaking or showing any emotion for hours and hours. And in the final 15, 20 minutes he was alive, he actually raised his right arm, raised it in the air, and it appeared that he was holding his hand up where the ceiling and the wall came together, right here in this hospital, in the room he was in. And got the biggest grin on his face.
Isn't that something?
And slowly lowered that arm. And one of my daughters was sitting there saying, "What do you see up there, Grandpa? You know, what's so funny up there?" And I said, "I know what he saw. He wasn't laughing either.
Mm-hmm.
He was filled with joy." And it's interesting that so many people can recount those types of things. There is life after mortal death. There is no doubt about
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I bet my soul on it. And I guess that's ultimately what we're doing.
I think
that's
you are.
That's right.
And you just have. I'm a witness.
Absolutely.
Okay, here's one for you, Dave. A major concern is the number of younger folks that are moving away from the church.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaving mass attendance. They're leaving the sacraments behind. What theory do you have on this?
Well, I think we need to make, I don't know how we need to make them, but people need to understand that you don't go to Mass to get something out of it. You know, we're not going there to get something. Yeah. We're going there to give something,
right,
to give thanks and adoration and praise to God and to receive the Holy Eucharist, you know, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. And the people that think that's boring?
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. That's the number one. The Mass is so boring. Well, yeah, you know, what are you doing? Are you just sitting there waiting to be stimulated?
Well, you know, a lot of them are looking at their phones, and that's no good.
Yeah.
But you have to put yourself in a little different frame of mind that you're not there to be entertained. Mass is not there to be entertainment for you. It's there for you to give to God, you know, to spend some time in prayer and ask God for his guidance and to lead you in the right direction and to thank him for all that's good in your life. Even things as the crosses we have to bear, you know, we need to thank him for those because we're all going to have our challenges. And each time we take on a cross, we know that it's not an ounce too heavy or an inch too long. He wouldn't do that to us.
That's
we just have to fight our way through those challenges and carry our crosses and understand that Mass, I serve Mass a lot. And when I serve Mass, the priest always says, well, thanks, Dave, for serving Mass. Yeah. And I always say,
no,
thanks for
yeah,
letting me be part of a Eucharistic miracle.
Exactly.
And if people would look at it more that way than say, I have to go to church tomorrow, you know,
sure,
I ought to be thinking, I get to go to church tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, and the daily Mass. I mean, you know, for years, I never went to daily Mass. In fact, I remember being in the office right next to yours at the police department, you two or three mornings saying, hey, you want to go to Mass with me?
Yeah.
You know, take our break and let's go to Mass. Ah, no, I got too much to do, you know. I regret that now, but now that I'm retired, I can go to daily Mass, and I try to make it a minimum of twice a week, if not all 4 days that we had Mass there.
It's a beautiful thing. There's no doubt about it. Hey, listen, we're going to have to wrap this up pretty quick.
All right, then.
I want the listeners out there to know that this was just kind of a bull session between you and me,
yep,
and the listeners to get
no
to
script,
know us a little bit. No script, obviously. I think
obviously
everybody can tell that. We are going to have a little more structure to the show. We're going to have guests. We're going to have features. I'm working on one called Just a Minute, Father, where we'll have like a minute or two homily. We've got a lot of talent in this town, a lot of giving people that we're going to tap into and make part of this show.
Absolutely.
So you got anything else you want to say at the end, Mark?
Goodbye. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We better close with a prayer.
Let's
and,
do it.
Let me close with the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born into eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Till next week, folks, we'll talk to you then.
He's the cradle.
I'm the cradle.
Love is but a song we sing, fears that we will die. You can make the moment